Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, yeah, I found this green ring sitting out in the parking lot. Where should I take it?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Hello, everybody, and this is me once again, Craig Stepp, bringing you another special from Heroes Con. If you're not familiar with Heroes Con, it's a special comic book convention held in Charlotte annually, and I go there and talk to some of the independent artists and just kind of get a feel for what everybody's doing. This year, I met up with Richard Green. Well, actually, I met up with him the last couple years, but I met up with him this year, and he did a few interviews with us. And if you're not familiar with Mainframe, you go check him out at the Geeking Out with Mainframe podcast, and we'll have links to all that in the show notes. So without further ado, here we go. Here's Heroes Con 2011.
This is a quick Geek Out interview with Thomas
Zoller. Very tall, very rugged-looking individual who looks remarkably like his main character of Love and Cakes.
Man, everybody says that. I think it's just because every artist uses themselves for a model. Yeah. When I'm drawn at 3 in the morning, I'm the only person there.
Well, you know, when you're an attractive guy, you know, go for it.
Well, I put myself on the cover of issue 8, and I'm a little chunkier, and I did that so people could see exactly what I think I look like compared to the Crusader.
So tell us real quick what Love and Cakes is, because I really like this book.
Well, thank you. Love and Cakes is a superhero romantic comedy. It's about a superhero who says, I love my girlfriend, I'm going to tell her that, but if I tell her that, I have to tell her everything. So is there ever a good time to let your girlfriend know you have X-ray vision? What does she want for Christmas when she knows you can crush coal into diamonds? Stuff like that.
And also the everyday problems of being a tax accountant on top of that.
He's an accountant, and she runs a small bookstore. So, In fact, the latest issue I did is mostly about Mark versus tax code.
Yes, loved it.
Thank you.
Great stuff. And the thing is, you get a little bit of superhero battles, but it's really about the personalities. It's done in a light way. I think for people like me who are Silver Age fans, will enjoy it. It's not so slow. It's not so introverted that it's, you know, like watching Seinfeld. It's actually very upbeat, very positive, very bright, and I recommend it for all ages.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, my goddaughter is a huge fan of the book, so I try to make sure that it's not for kids, but it's kid-appropriate.
Yeah. And you get things like we get to see them. They start off engaged, and then they get married. Well,
they start off dating. They get engaged later on, and then they get married. So now I'm writing their newlywed year, which is a little different for me because I'm single. So, I mean, I've been in relationships, and I've watched my friends get engaged, but this wedding thing, it's science fiction to me now.
Well, as a married guy, I think you're hitting it pretty good. So
thank you.
I wouldn't complain anything about how you're handling it. You definitely have seen enough of what's going on with your parents and your people around you to get it right. Not a problem. And like I said, it's designed to be light, designed to be fun. Every once in a while, you know, things like meteors interrupt the day. And the best friend. Tell us a little bit about best friend. Superman's best friend. We're talking Batman. We're talking Wonder Woman's. What you got going on with Crusader?
Crusader has a Batman analog who's his best friend, Darkblade, who is a rich, non-superpowered detective fighter. He's a little more based on the Shadow from the 94 Alec Baldwin movie, where he's a legacy character and trained, and his parents are completely alive. In fact, they show up in the latest issue, too. And Amazonia is a princess from another dimension who dresses very scantily and is kind of like Oprah meets superheroing.
Yeah.
She's very much a media star. And she dated the Crusader before the Crusader met Abby.
Yeah, and there's a little friction at the beginning, and then there's, you know.
Yeah, there's been a definite arc with Amazonia's character, Zoe, and she's been one of the most interesting characters to write. Originally, she was just a one-off joke for the first issue, and I didn't think there was going to be much more to her, but man, I couldn't do the book without her.
So, anything else you want us to tell? Tell people who may be listening, the 5 or 6 people who listen to my podcast.
Well, the book's coming out from IDW now. In issue 5, a character dies. I won't say who, but it's a very special episode of Love and Capes. And then coming in September will be a trade collecting the last Free Comic Book Day issue and the five from IDW.
Right. Very family friendly, very easy to get on board. There aren't that many issues. You got trade.
Yep.
Trades for people who want to catch up. It's on IDW. It's not going anywhere. You can get it at your local comic shop. You can order off the internet.
Yep. You can order loveandcapes.com. That's my site.
Love and Capes. And we will have links on the podcast.
Excellent.
And thanks very much, Tom.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
All right, I'm here at the booth of
John Benz.
John Benz, how you doing, John?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
All right, I think you're like my Twitter nemesis.
I believe nemesis is a good word.
Yeah, but actually, I met you through through Twitter. Well, just because of Twitter, and saw some of your art through another. I'm trying to think. Was it Chris Flick? Maybe I think you know Chris.
I'm not quite sure. That was like in the early days of my Twitter usage, and yeah. It's a blur. So
yeah, that's all right. Well, tell us a little bit about your art. I know you do a strip online, and kind of let everybody know what you do.
Well, I do two comics. The first one is an all ages slice of life comic called A Moment of Clarity, and then I do another comic which is a bit sillier called Dawn's Dictionary Drama, and that has a really interesting concept behind it.
And can you explain that concept?
Absolutely. So what I do is when people stop by at comic conventions, I get words from them. And then I use those words in the dialogue of a continuing storyline.
Ah. So maybe can we contribute a word? I'm sorry to say a letter. A word this time?
Absolutely. What word do you want to give?
Let's see. What word? What word? Snickerdoodle's too easy. Flubberwits.
Flubberwits. That sounds made up. What's the definition?
Oh, does it have to be a real word?
It can be a made up word, but it has to have a cool definition.
Flubberwits. That's a science experiment gone wrong.
You want to spell Flubberwits for me?
F L U B B E R W I T Z.
And a science experiment gone wrong, right?
Yeah, sure.
All right, that sounds great. That word will end up in a future comic.
Okay, well, if it's not too far, you send me a link and I'll put it in the show notes.
All right, we'll do.
All right, so tell me, so how long have you been drawing?
I've been doing comics since about 1999. I did a webcomic way back in the day for that was published in a couple of school newspapers, and I kind of took a break from comics and got into animation after that. And then around 2005, 2006, I started to produce my first mini comics, then first graphic novel, and then moved back into web comics, and here I am.
Cool. Now, I have to ask you, is like Garfield a little bit of an influence?
I get that a lot. It's usually because of the big eyes my characters have. I did read Garfield when I was a kid. A lot of other influences, Foxtrot, they also have the big eyes. And a lot of kids' cartoons. So a lot of influences from different things that I watched when I was younger kind of all mashed together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and see, I draw cartoons as well, but I draw with the big eyes, and everybody goes, oh, you like Garfield. I'm like, eh. It's hard not to be influenced by Jim Davis, especially early on, right?
Exactly. I mean, the books are everywhere. You can get them from the library. I got tons of Garfield books from the library when I was a kid, so you can't not be influenced.
Yeah. So what is it about HeroesCon that you like coming each year?
Well, it's a great show. Overall, not just for the superhero comics, but for us indie folks, in that lots of people stop by and there aren't that they don't have the same big con expectation where, oh, we've got to go see the superhero stuff. That's all that's here. Let's skip over the small press people. Everyone comes and looks at everything, which at other shows that I've been to isn't quite the case. People will just skip over small press. Here, people will actually check everything out. And not only that, but Charlotte's an awesome town. I really like coming down here.
Yeah. And where are you from?
I'm from Baltimore.
Baltimore. So you get a Balticon as well?
Balticon? I've been to it. I know some other folks here who go to Balticon. Baltimore Comic Con, I've been to a couple times. And then Small Press Expo is actually where I got my start. But honestly, Heroes, for overall awesome show, is really my favorite.
Yeah. Okay, well, if somebody wants to find out more about your stuff, where can they go?
They can go to johnbintz.com, johnbintz.com. From there, you can find out everything else that I do.
Okay, excellent. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
All right, I'm now at someone else's booth, and I am with...
Sean Padraic Murphy.
Sean, how you doing?
Good.
Tell me a little bit about your work here. I see some of it's got some photo stuff with it, but you got some interesting other work here. Tell us a little bit about your stuff.
Okay, the first thing I have is I have two issues of a comic series called The End, which just came out this week. It's the premise is the world is going to end in 7 days, and each issue has one, two, or three stories about how different characters deal or don't deal with that fact that the world is going to end. For instance, the first issue involves a man who has been working a dead-end job for all his life, and what happens when the rules that you're supposed to follow in society no longer matter. Whereas the second issue has a lighter story about two middle school kids who don't know what to do with their feelings for each other, in addition to a more serious story afterwards about a man who realizes he's neglected his wife most of his life for a promotion and tries to rectify that the last week of his life.
Oh, that sounds interesting. Okay.
So
was it, you know, what kind of made you start thinking about doing a story like this?
I don't know. It just came to me, and it was a really good story, and then I realized this would be a really good way to get artists for not a very long commitment to actually get this finished and get it out there really quickly. So, but yeah, it's been really fun working on, and I have the first two issues out here, and I'm hoping to see how they do. And then I have an old comic book I made over here called Displacement. It came out 2 years ago. It was the first time I presented to a convention. It was at SPX 2009, and it's Displacement. The main character refuses to believe the thoughts in his own head, so his brain retaliates.
I do that all the time.
So his brain creates a skewed figment of himself that interacts with him and tries to drive him insane. And it's three issues. It's loosely based on my life, the beginning of college, mixed with a fiction story I wrote, and I just kind of merged the two and came up with this interesting story.
This is pretty cool. This kind of reminds me of a comic I made a long time ago, where, and you can tell it looked like this. It was black and white and drawn on, and my main character looked like me with a lightsaber and a, you know, that kind of thing. But this is really cool.
You can tell it looks a little like me,
yeah,
because it is sort of influenced from my freshman year of college. So it's kind of an interesting hybrid of story types.
Mm-hmm. Well, cool. Now, if somebody wants to find out more about your series or any of your stuff, where can they go?
They can go to SeanPMurphy.com. That's SeanPMurphy.com. Because if you don't put the P in there, you're going to be buying real estate on Long Island.
and none of the revenues go to you, right?
No.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Hello, this is Pruber.
And this is Dr. Dave
from Two Wheel Cafe, and you're listening to Technorama 10010101. High five.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was talking about. Is that right?
Yeah.
He was talking about.
He asked if you've been on Tiny Titans, and they said they wouldn't let you.
Oh, it's not that they wouldn't let me. We talked about it, and just nothing ever happened out of it. So that's all. Anyway,
what my brother Ted said is, you need to have a new book called Tween Titans to kind of cover.
That's a great idea. I could do that.
Just cover that gap, you know.
Well, it's kind of what we did. I mean, yeah, we're good. That's a really broad packet. I mean, covering all the bases at that point. So you got to look preschoolers, then you would have the tweens, is what you're talking about, and then we'd have teenagers. So yeah, that may be too much coverage.
But anyway, Mike Norton is. I just love Mike's stuff. I mean, what are some of the books you've been on? I know you've been on Green Lantern. Green Arrow.
Green Arrow. I've done a lot of stuff for DC. I was exclusive with them for about 4 years. So I did Green Arrow, the all-new Atom. I was on Booster Gold for a while doing Blue Beetle stories. Blue Beetle is one of my favorite characters. So I did Trinity. Done a lot of stuff with DC. I did Gravity for Marvel.
By the way, those of you who are not familiar with Gravity, it was a small little, almost a mini series by the time the thing was finished. But it was but it was an excellent title. I'd recommend. I'm assuming it's still in trade.
Oh yeah, definitely. You can still get it.
So if you want something that's kind of Spider-Man with a little more oomph, you know, and a little bit more fun than the current Spider-Man, I would recommend Gravity.
I really appreciate that. Thank you very much. It was definitely very Spider-Man influenced. I mean, we made no bones about that.
So. Yes, but instead of proportional spider, we're talking ability to affect gravity.
Yeah, he has the potential to be incredibly powerful. He just hasn't quite figured it out yet because he's a teenager, so he wants to be like his heroes, but he's constantly finding out that the world of modern superheroism isn't as gee whiz and fun as he grew up believing it was.
And you've got your own stuff. You got Battle Pug. Now tell us what Battle Pug is. I'm looking here. I'm seeing the most adorable giant pug being ridden by a Conan-esque character. Yeah. Frank Frazetta gone horribly wrong.
Horribly right.
Okay, I'll go with that.
I thought about the most. I wanted like a He-Man sort of mount, you know, something for him to ride. And so the most vicious animal I could think of was a pug. No, obviously, it's like he's. Who wouldn't laugh at that? It's like so stupid. So I wanted to do something I would not get bored of drawing, and I love pugs. So I figured I would do that, and I can make up whatever I want because once you put a dude riding a pug, you can pretty much do everything.
All the restrictions are out the window. Yeah.
So it's got magic, it's got giant baby seals, it's got all kinds of crazy stuff in it. It's Conan with pugs in it, and I'm gonna do some weird stuff. I've got a big long run in mind, so. We'll see if I live to do all of it.
But the thing about his art is it's the kind of stuff that you just kind of feel good after you read it. It's not, you know, it's not your dark and broody, oh my goodness, I need to watch a Disney film. It's just good comics fun.
I really appreciate that. You know, I don't necessarily try to draw like cartoony or anything, but I do like comics to be fun, you know, and some friends of mine back home, when we work on comics, we don't call them all ages comics because a lot of people think that means just for kids. We call them all audiences because pretty much anybody can read them and not feel like they're being pandered to, you know. So that's kind of what we don't want too dumb for what a lot of children's material is now, because I mean a lot of times people really dumb down stuff for kids and not overly censored, you know, so adults feel like they're getting something out of it, you know.
Now where can people find your stuff, and you still are doing your own podcast, right? Or are you on a podcast?
I still do a podcast. It's called A Crankcast. Every week. We haven't missed a week for a long, long time. It's at crankcast.com, and my website's ihatemike.com, and all the links are there. My studio is 4starstudios.com, and there's links to my website, Battle Pug, Double Feature Comics, which is the digital comics that we do there. I'm everywhere on the internet.
Appreciate it. Like I said, if you enjoy good comics the way I love them, Mike's one of the guys that you definitely want to check out and see what he's got going on.
Really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Right. Thanks very much.
All right, I'm at another booth, and I'm with
Talon Dunning.
Hey, Talon.
see some of your artwork. This is great. I see some your take on Wonder Woman and Supergirl and some other stuff. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a fantasy illustrator from Atlanta, Georgia. I work mostly in the role-playing game industry. I'm known for doing stuff for Ravenloft and Mutants and Masterminds. Mostly D20 stuff, things like that. I interned with White Wolf for a year, so I've been around the block.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So is this the first time you've been Heroes Con?
Yeah, this is the first time I've worked Heroes Con, so I'm a little nervous about it. It's so comic book oriented, I'm afraid nobody will stop by, you know. But, you know, so far it's been pretty good. It's been a lot of fun.
So what are some of your influences? Of course, I see some DC stuff here.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been a big comic book guy all my life, so... I guess I start off with John Byrne, you know, kind of the Neil Adams.
I love John Byrne.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's amazing, and he made such an impact on the industry. So, you know, you can almost not be an illustrator today and not have been influenced by people like Byrne. But I also had some influences like Simonson, and probably my biggest influences today would be like Adam Hughes. I love his Good Girl stuff and try to emulate it as much as I can. But that's why I like working for Mutants and Masterminds. That gives me the opportunity to sort of dive into my my comic book art roots,
right,
and actually do some comic book work sort of professionally. Not that, you know, the fantasy stuff isn't fun, but I love comics. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, good. Now, if somebody wanted to find out more about you, where would they go?
I'm online at www.talonart.com. And you can also find some of my gaming work at www.arcane-marks.com.
Okay, very good. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, have a good time.
All right, I'm at another booth, and I'm with...
Terry Huddleston.
Hey, Terry, how you doing?
Doing excellent.
I get it right, Terry?
That's right.
Okay. Now, I'm looking at some of your work. Of course, I see Transformers and Superman and stuff, and this killer wall with portraits from just about anybody you can imagine. So... tell me a little bit about your influences and what you do.
Well, basically, my influences have always been the late 70s, early 80s cartoon artwork, Super Friends, Alex Toth, you know, Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah, great stuff.
Then the early Sunbow stuff from, you know, G.I. Joe. I think it was a Marvel company. So I always liked the kind of robust, clean lines. But at the same time, they threw a lot of detail in that I guess I felt like... as we got older, we took it for granted until it was gone. And so my branding was basically to kind of remind you of what stuff used to look like when we were growing up. So it's nostalgia, you know, basically.
Yeah. Very cool. Now, so what all do you do? I see you got a lot of portraits and prints and whatnot. So what all do you do?
Basically, I do a lot of freelance work for random clients all across the world, actually. And I pretty much make a pretty good living on the fringes of the major, you know, companies. And people often ask me, well, don't you want to draw for Marvel or DC? It's like, I'm pretty actually busy drawing for everybody else.
<'Cause it's laughs> Who?
You know, exactly. You might not have heard them, but, hey, they pay the bills. So, you know, it's a lot of work to be had out there for any artist who's willing to basically look to other places other than Marvel or DC or, you know, an Image or whatever.
Sure. All right, so if anybody wants to see your work, how can they find you?
Go to thuddleston.deviantart.com. For you DeviantArt people, you'll know exactly how to navigate that.
Absolutely.
For people who aren't DeviantArt people, just Google my name, Terry Huddleston, and it's the first link that pops up.
All right. And we'll have links in the show notes and stuff,
oh,
too.
Cool.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
All right. I'm yet at another booth, and I am talking to...
Elaine Corvidet.
Elaine, you got some interesting stuff here. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
Absolutely. I write science fiction, fantasy novels, unique novels for unique readers. I also do a science fiction webcomic called Riven Soul.
Riven Soul. Tell us a little bit about that.
It is a mix of science fiction, romance, and Lovecraftian horror.
That's a little bit of everything in there.
Yeah, pretty much, yes.
Well, tell us some about your writing. I see it looks like a good mix of stuff. I don't know, just tell us about it.
Okay, well, I have several different series. My Shadow Fae series, which starts with Winter's Orphans. It features fairies and part fairies in an Industrial Revolution-type setting. Eventually works in some steampunk elements into it. The Tyrant Moon series is about a pacifist wizard and a barbarian warrior woman who have to band together to defeat evil.
Wait, a pacifist wizard?
Yes, pacifist okay. wizard and a barbarian right, warrior woman.
Okay, wow, that sounds good.
Thank you.
So, are you self-published, or how are you with somebody? Or
Most of my books are out through Mundania Press, which is a small press out of Ohio.
Okay. All right, and if somebody wants to find out more about your writings and your webcomic, where can they find out more about you?
They can go to my website, which is onecrow.net. That's onecrow.net.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good one.
And now for another Geek Out interview at Heroes Con Charlotte. And we've got Stephanie Buscema, illustration, comics, picture books, goodies, just a whole host of things. Stephanie, tell us about yourself and what you do and where we can find your stuff.
I'm a freelance illustrator from New York. You can see my art at www.stephaniebuscema.com. I basically do illustration for children's books. I paint comic books. I do gallery shows. So it's a mix of everything, basically.
I'm looking at your stuff now. I saw your stuff on the website before I got here, and it's just really neat. It's very bright. It's very colorful. It's very positive. It's just kind of just fun, bright, happy to look at. When I saw the site, it said that your grandfather is John Buscema, the famous, love his stuff. I read his stuff back in the late 60s and 70s on up as long as he was doing stuff. I still think he's as good as any artist that's here today. Now, if I remember correctly, on your site, you actually said that you actually kind of started learning from him. Can you say a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, we grew up three houses down from my grandparents, John and Dolores, so we were always there after school learning how to draw, and I kind of knew at a young age I would have to get into the field, and there was no choice, but I wanted to. So, you know, taught me how to draw, taught me how to ink, and then later on I kind of went to painting and did my own thing and tried to take my own style and make comics with it. So I feel very, very blessed, very lucky to have grown up in that environment around him and have learned so much. I mean, he was my inspiration, and I just feel very, very lucky to have that.
Yeah, any interview that I've read or heard him on, he seemed like a generally hardworking...
He was a family man. He was about his family, and he loved his trade, loved to make art, and he was just down-to-earth, one of the nicest people you would ever meet.
So if people are interested in purchasing, finding your stuff online and purchasing it, like I said, I'm right now I'm looking at several pages he's got with Spider-Man and Frogman fighting, and it's just and this was from Marvel Web of Spider-Man number one. So, I mean, you, in addition to your children's book, you have been published in Marvel Comics.
Yes, predominantly Marvel Comics I've done most of my work in. A little bit of DC. I did a little Batman story with Steve Niles. But most of my work is Marvel, which is really cool because I get to kind of revisit those characters I grew up with and take my own spin on them. So... it's been fun.
Okay. And we'll have a link on the show notes so that people can find your stuff, and really appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
I'm Steve Rickyberg from Geek Cred, the show that gives the inside scoop on everything geek at geekcred.net. And you're feeding your inner geek with Chuck Tomasi and Craig Stepp on Technorama.
All right, I'm yet at another booth, and I am sitting here with...
Jesse Rubenfeld.
Jesse, I see a lot of people have influenced you, especially like Norman Rockwell and stuff like that. So tell me a little bit about your art and your influences and whatnot.
Sure. I take my cues from the past masters, not necessarily from comic book artists, even though I love comic books and comic book art. But I think that people should involve a little more culture into their popular culture. So I try and make it a little more accessible to people by combining classic paintings and classic images with popular culture imagery, whether it be Doctor Who or... Captain Marvel, Super Pets, the Wonder Twins, Star Wars, the Muppets,
yeah,
everything. So
yeah, this is pretty cool stuff. I see the Last Supper here, and do you do some stuff on your own? I mean, that's not necessarily a mix or how?
I do do. I have a personal work too. I write a comic book called Into the Dust, which is kind of a realistic version of Wizard of Oz. But my Dorothy character ends up in 1964 Beverly Hills. So
interesting.
In a roundabout way, it's still taking an existing classic and putting a new spin on it, but it's more personal than these. Although my paintings are very much my heart and soul. That's my inner workings of my psyche. Mm-hmm. My own weird, twisted ways.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, everybody needs a little weird and twisted. That's awesome. Yeah. Now, of course, I see Norman Rockwell. I love Norman Rockwell. So and when I saw...
He's probably my favorite artist.
Oh, yeah, so. Absolutely. And I see the Saturday Evening Post where the kid's running from the swimming hole.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Robin and who else we got there? The Flash and...
Kid Flash, Aqualad, Beast Boy is the dog, and that's Robin.
Right. Oh, it's the whole Teen Titans right there.
Yes, it's the Teen Titans.
That's pretty cool. And the cafe counter with Captain Marvel.
And Freddie Freeman, who's Captain Marvel Jr. And Shazam is the cafe owner.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got lots of little references in there. Mr. Mind is underneath one of the stools. And there's all sorts of little things. The Seven Deadly Sins are on top of the pie stand. And Mr. Tawny is the mascot for the pie company. So, and Wiz Radio is... The radio.
Yeah. This is really cool.
Thank you.
There's some good ones we were talking about earlier with all the, I guess, the different sets of animals, like for Marvel and DC and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about some of this stuff.
Well, I did the Dogs Playing Poker series. I did three of them. I started with the DC Super Pets, and I did, you know, Ace the Bat Hound, Comet the Super Horse, Beppo the Super Monkey, Strakey the Super Cat, and Crypto the Super Dog. And it was sold. I sold the original painting to a guy, and he said, I want more. Can you do more? And so I had to rack my brain.
Nah.
No, I'm not going to take anyone else's money. Of course I'll do more. I'm a whore when it comes to money.
We'll cut that out.
Yeah. It's okay. Uh-huh. Anyway, so I did a set with Hanna-Barbera characters, and I did a set with, Hanna-Barbera animals, and... A set with the Marvel animals. When I say Hanna-Barbera animals, I don't mean Yogi Bear. I'm talking about super animals.
Yeah. Well, see, I actually overlooked Hong Kong Phooey a minute ago.
Hong Kong Phooey in the center.
Because he looks more real than he does in the cartoon.
Well, I tried to replicate what the original painting kind of looked like. So it had a more realistic look on the dogs. So they had to look a little more realistic than... A Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
Yeah, Howard the Duck over here looks really realistic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is great. So if somebody wants to find out more about your work, where can we go?
They would go to jessierubenfeld.net.
.net. Okay. Thank you very much, Jesse.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
All right. And I am now with...
Echo Chernick.
Echo. That's an interesting name. That's your real name?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Pretty cool. So tell us a little bit about your work. I see all kinds of little more fantasy type...
I am primarily an advertising illustrator. I've been doing advertising advertising illustration for the last 16 years. This is my third year doing the comic conventions and my second Heroes.
Well, tell us a little bit about your artwork you got back here.
Or all over. Well, this year we're premiering a series of 12 food-related pieces that I've done for the Beaufort Highway Farmers Market in Atlanta, as well as my personal pieces, which I have here, Pie Cthulhu and Cupcake Cthulhu, which are my biggest sellers. Pie Cthulhu. And I also do a lot of work for Shadowrun.
Oh, very cool. So so is all of it art-related, or, I mean, advertising-related, or just some of it's your own stuff?
A lot of the pieces here are my own. The Pie Cthulhu ones, the Icarus piece, the Queen of Hearts series. And I also have the book which just came out, which has all of my advertising work. So stuff from Miller, Camel, Coors, NASCAR, Trek, Social Seasonings, Jose Cuervo, De Kuyper. You can keep going.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of people mix genres, but you're mixing all kinds of stuff here.
I do. Yeah.
Very cool. So if somebody wants to find out more about your work, where can they go?
Go to echo-x.com. And we also do the shows all summer, and we travel the country and do comic shows. So you can go to echo-location.com. Yes, that's okay. Echolocation.
Echolocation. That's cool.
So,
can I interview your little salesperson down there?
Of course you can. Catherine.
Hey,
you have to hold your art up. So
yeah, now tell me a little bit about your art. Now you've been helping your mom sell, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what kind of artwork do you do?
I do hearts.
Hearts? Show me some of your work.
There there's some, like, this type of art, a tacked heart.
Yeah, so you have to say that there are hearts with eviscerated hearts. So I think we've sat next to too many zombie artists in the past.
It sounds like it.
There's poisoning hearts.
Wow. Poisoning heart is nice and black. That's cool.
Black means poison. And there's also owl heart. I call the owl heart with hot-blooded hearts. There's a regular hot-blooded heart also.
So you're an artist just like your mother, huh?
And there is also what I call angel in the air.
Oh, that's digital.
That's digital. That's very cute.
Yeah. I wrote it on the computer. And there's another one called Goodnight Heart. Mm-hmm. And that the heart that is made out of hearts is going to bed.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
No one's telling it to go to bed. Not even my dad. He made a joke about saying the shree is daddy telling the heart go to bed. But my dad wouldn't say that. He was just kidding.
All right. Well, thank you very much for letting me interview. Take care now.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you.
So he got a Zoom too, huh?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I'm going to turn the tables here. I'm standing here with Richard Green and his brother Ted Green.
Who dat?
Yeah, who dat? Well, listen, I'm curious. Now, both of y'all seem to be cut from the same cloth in the geek genre here. How did that happen? I'm going to talk to Ted first.
Well, I will have to say that I would have to credit my dad, who was a hunter who went out in the woods all the time, but he did not imprint that on his sons. He was basically, if you're a good kid, you make good grades, you stay out of trouble, I don't care what you do. And, you know, a lot of dads aren't like that. And I may have to be calling out some folks on that, but he was not that kind of dad. He said, you're a good kid, I accept you the way you are, that's fine.
So, what, did he just buy you comics and stuff, or how'd that work?
We had a grandma that liked to give us an allowance. Where she got money from, I don't know, because she didn't have a job, and she couldn't work, she was diabetic, but somehow she got money. And she gives us an allowance, and then we take that allowance, and we go to the, like, 7-Eleven or the Quick Stop, and we get our comics.
Ah, I see.
Yes, back in the day.
You want to add to that?
Yeah, and we share. Ted read a lot of the comic books that I bought and vice versa. So.
And yes, I milk off of Richard. Absolutely. Richard buys comics. He lets me read them.
Okay.
I make no pretense about me buying comics, no.
Well, see, the problem is me and my brother, my dad would buy us comics and stuff. And I had some that I really liked, but it has, like, Craig and another one say Adam on it because I had to write names on it. Did y'all have to have that problem?
No,
or?
No, not at all. Not at all. Absolutely not. We're not possessive about the comics.
Well, I think it was a lot of, mine, no, it's mine. And my mom said, okay, I'll fix this.
We didn't have that.
Okay.
I mean, we had so many, it wasn't like we were fighting over them. It's like, okay, we got, like, 4,000. I'll read these and you read those. So.
Okay.
But eventually they got messed up, so we won't talk about that. It's a bad story.
It was another dark day in the Green family history, right?
Something like that.
Something like that,
Something
yes.
like that. All right, yes, very
absolutely,
cool.
Absolutely.
Now, do you have anything, any good dirt or anything on Richard Green here?
I'm not going to do that to him.
Oh, come on.
Not yet.
I'm
not
too yet. Boring.
He is like milk toast. We were talking earlier about the fact that there's another Mainframe who we think is a large black rapper guy, and they get Richard, a.k.a. Mainframe, on Twitter mixed up with the guy. Richard is not a large black rapper.
Not by any stretch.
No. I wouldn't say he's the polar opposite, but he's...
I am a human being, at least.
Yeah, he doesn't talk with a weird accent, so he's not the polar opposite, but he's pretty close.
Well, he does share something in common with the rapper. They're both here on Earth.
That's about it,
bipedal,
yes.
That sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Two eyes, two ears, one nose, one mouth.
But we haven't seen the other rapper.
Well, yeah, because if he's gangster, he could be missing an eyeball real easy.
Right.
Maybe an ear.
Maybe an ear.
Maybe an ear.
All right. Thank you, Ted.
It's been nice meeting you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Testing. Okay.
He's an intern, you know.
I know. We're here at Heroes Con talking to Andy Rutten. Andy Rutten has this hat. It's just cool. It's bright. It's awesome. Very words of any, but it's just like joy in a little book. I mean, it's hard to explain. How would you describe Owly, your main creation here?
Well, Owly is a kind-hearted little owl, and he just likes to go on little adventures and make new friends. Him and his best friend, Wormy, just kind of enjoy living in the forest, and that's what the books are all about.
And it really is just that adorable. If you've got kids, this is the book for you. We had talked before at one convention that maybe looking at animation. Is anything going on with the animation for Owly, or is that still?
We've had a few offers, but it's really an interesting kind of thing. It's, you're trying to juggle keeping control as well as watching something grow. A lot of the offers we've gotten right now, the biggest problem is that they just want control of everything.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to remain able to publish my books as long as I want to and create new ones, and that's where I want to see it go. So I think we'll find something eventually, happy medium-wise, but in the meantime, just keep cranking, you know? So.
And if I remember correctly, don't you have, for Owly, don't you have, like, teacher... what do you call it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got free lesson plans on my website, andyrutten.com. We've got links to all of the books and all the stuff you can buy with Owly, and a whole really extensive fan art section, as well as a lot of custom little Owly as sketches that I do, where I dress Owly up as different things, like these Doctor Who's and stuff like that. And I've also did the Heroes Con poster this year, so we'll be having those for sale.
And always, you got something available for Free Comic Book Day.
Absolutely. Free Comic Book Day is a big day for us. We really try to get comics out there and get kids back into comics, so it's really good.
Right. So, educational, bright, fun. One of the things I recommend that kids do is, since they don't have words, take a look at Owly, make up and write your own story. Put your own words.
Absolutely. A lot of kids love to make up their own story. A lot of kids like to explain it to other kids. And that's really the coolest thing, because you really can tell that they really understand what's going on. So it's really.
And even though Andy's art is absolutely beautiful, the characters are simple enough that your kids can draw their own little Owlies.
Absolutely. I mean, I love drawing and copying stuff when I was a kid. And I think it's great that Owly's published in black and white, and I think that demystifies some of it, because if it doesn't look polished and finished, it looks great. So.
All right, and thanks very much, Andy. Where do they need to go on the web to find you?
They can find me at andyrutten.com, and you can find everything Owly there.
And thanks very much.
All right, take care, man.
Well, in case you were wondering, that was actually Richard Green's phone. It started to go off there towards the interview. I tease him about being an end-of-the-show alarm. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for participating in the show and allowing us to interview them at HeroesCon. I also want to thank Richard Green for hanging out with me and doing a few interviews himself, and his brother for offering some insight on the background of the Green family history. Oh, yeah, don't forget to check out Richard's podcast, Geek Out with Mainframe. That's at GOWMainframe.com. We'll get you there. Now, we appreciate your support, and if you like the show, there are many ways you can show your love. You can call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT, that's 2428, or you can email Chuck and I at technorama@chuckchat.com, or on the Twitters at C. Tomasi, at Step K, and at Technorama. Be sure to check out the website at chuckchat.com for, you know, all our swag, webcam, and all that good stuff, and show notes, especially all the links for all the people that you heard in the show today. And don't forget, if you like the show, you can really show us. You can do something that doesn't cost any money and give us a review on the iTunes Music Store, Podcast Pickle, Podcast Alley, or any other number of podcast directories that take comments. Or how about a donation to the Chip Jar, one time, or even a micro-monthly payment? We appreciate either one. We'll also thank Mad Mar for the great content on the blog, and our Ustream for giving us our live stream on our Sunday shows, and ThinStack.net for our chat room. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. To find out more about Friends in Tech, go to friendsintech.com. And we are also affiliated with Farpoint Media and all the great podcasts over there. Please check them out. We know you find something you'll like to enjoy over there. So without further ado, be sure to tell a friend about Technorama and 101.
Can Batman escape? One hint, the worst is yet to come.